Hello, there's Brighton.
Where's all our little people today? Oh my goodness. I guess we have big people. Hi, Brighton. How are you, buddy? And Briley's so happy to be here. Shh. Okay. Well, today is an awesome day, and one of the greatest things to celebrate is the Advent candle that was lit this morning. Brighton, did you hear which one it was? Which one did Miss Marcy light?
Joy.
Joy. And if you stick around for the scripture later, it's one of those crazy scriptures that Mr. Dave's going to read. And somewhere in there is joy and hope and its bones and things like that that sometimes go over our heads. But the main focus of today is joy. And without some of our examples here to pull from, Brighton, you're on, or the big people have to be on. We talk about in our lives that there's little joys and there's big joys. And as we talk about in the scripture, there's definite things to be thankful for that bring us great joy. Some of the little joys, like this week for Sam, it's a little joy. Well, for Sam, it's a big joy. And that Star Wars movie, the new Star Wars movie came out. Big joy. He finished school. He got home. Big joy. Annie found out she's going to be an Illini. Woo! Yeah. Yep. And McKenna found out she got into the honors program at Indiana State. And big joy that Grace and Kenna qualified for state yesterday in dance competition. And Brighton probably had big joy. How'd you do on your spelling test? Awesome. See, big joy. Big joy, the district superintendent is here. I don't know if Zach was excited that the district superintendent is here. Did you know that?
Yes.
Big joy. Yes.
this is our district superintendent, Steve Granadosan. If you haven't met him, he's a great pastor. And he's been a great mentor to me, and I just want to thank you for coming today to worship with us, Steve.
What a great joy to have you before the Christmas season, so thank you for being here. There's lots of little joys, maybe, that, you know, the game's going certain ways, and we were excited that, you know, wins and losses and different news like that. A great joy this morning of the choir singing. I love that our little church has such a mighty choir. And we hope that in all of this Christmas season that we remember that there's little joys and big joys, but all of them are something that God brings and blesses in our life. And I think the one thing to remember is the verse that talks about angels proclaimed great news. It was great joy for all people. So it was a joy that everybody could share in. And so it doesn't mean if it was a game or news about a test or news about something that was important to you. This was news that God blessed us with that affected everything in our life. Great news of his son being born and coming to save us all. Can we bow our heads? Mighty God, thank you for us gathering today, having the freedom to do so and to celebrate this beautiful holiday season. Thank you for the little joys that we get to celebrate that also can lead to big joys. And thank you for laying out the plans that you have for us that we can celebrate and remember to celebrate the joys along the way. Bless us this week as we prepare for an amazing event next weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand for the reading of our scripture today. It's from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, Oh Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit, that same breath of life, we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. So here we are, it's Advent. We lit the candle of joy. But today's reading, as you heard, isn't one we're used to hearing in Advent, leading up to Christmas. It's kind of an eerie story, isn't it? He's in this valley of bones. He's in a boneyard. Horrifying, eerie, isn't it? It kind of made me think about one of my favorite stories growing up, or the movies, was The Lion King. And Simba and Nala are wandering off where Mufasa told them not to go. And they find themselves in the elephant graveyard. And they're in over their heads, and the hyenas come chasing them. But then eventually, Simba tries to let out a roar, and it's like, roar! And all of a sudden, his father, Mufasa, comes behind him, the king, and goes, roar! And the evil hyenas scatter. He didn't have the breath to have that roar, that strength, but his father did. And in the same way in this story, I think about how horrifying it would have been for Ezekiel, who saw some really traumatic stuff in his time. As a prophet, who both before and during the exile, where all of Israel's hopes were dashed and lost, and eventually they were taken into slavery to the Empire of Babylon. All their expectations of what they thought they were supposed to be and their normal was all about to change. And Ezekiel, whether he has this vision or he's actually in this boneyard, he sees this valley of dry bones. Bones everywhere, thousands of bones. You know, there's over 200 bones in the human body. And these bones, as the text tells us, these bones were very dry. Now, a dry bones means that they've been exposed to the elements. These skeletons have been dead for a long, long time. And he's there. And God asks him, he says, "Mortal, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" Well, that's unprecedented. He's asking him the impossible. And Ezekiel's honest with God. And he says this, he says, "Oh Lord, God, you know." Or maybe another way of saying it is, "I have no idea, God, but only you could know this. I don't know." He defers back to God. And then God doesn't answer his question. God gives him a command. And he tells Ezekiel, he says, "You're a prophet, prophesy to these bones." And he tells him what to say. "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, I will cause breath to enter you." I will cause breath. The Hebrew word for breath or wind is ruach, or spirit. That same ruach, that breath, that spirit, that wind of God, was what was there that hovered over the primordial waters at creation. That all of God's creative power begins with his very breath that brings forth his word. So he says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to the bones, O dry bones." O dry bones that have been dead for who knows how long. Dormant, lifeless. "Hear the word of the Lord." Hear the word of the Lord, that life-giving word. Or as John says, "In the beginning was the word. And the word was God. And the word was with God." The word. "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you." Nothing's going to change until God breathes new life. "And you shall live," he says. And then the second part, he says, "I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin." And then again he says, "And put breath in you and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord." So he says to prophesy, "Hear the word of the Lord. I will put breath in you." And the second part of putting the sinews and the flesh on these long dead skeletons. It's kind of like zombies. It's very eerie, isn't it? We see a lot with zombies in our culture now. But then he says, "And I will put breath in you, and you shall live." It all comes back to the breath of God, his spirit. "And then you shall know that I am God. I am the Lord." And so he does exactly what God says. He prophesies as he was commanded. He was obedient. And as he prophesied, it all happened. There was a noise, and then a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. That phrase we've heard before, where Adam says to Eve, "Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." This is a new creation taking place here in this vision. This situation that seems hopeless and dead and empty. And God is saying, "Prophesy into that deadness. Hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter you, and I will make sinews and flesh come together, and I will put my breath in you, and you will live." That's the good news. And it all happens. And he looks, and there's sinews on them, and there's flesh and skin and covering them, but there was no breath in them. So he says to do it again. He says, prophesy to the breath, prophesy and say to the breath, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So he prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they what? They lived, and they stood on their feet. This vast multitude, this vast army. But they still weren't done yet. Because God was showing him what this vision or this experience was. He says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel, the whole kingdom, the whole people. Everything that they had been promised. But to Ezekiel, they're just a bunch of dead bones. They've lost their connection. Broken relationships. Disappointment. Unmet expectations. The whole house of Israel. It looks like an abject failure, doesn't it? And yet in that failure, that's where God called him to prophesy. In that place that's the most painful for him as a prophet, to see Israel's failure and Israel's downfall and knowing that Israel's going to be exiled. That's where God calls him to prophesy. That's where the good news starts, where there is no good news. That's how God saves us. He comes to create new life where there is no life. He comes to bring order where it seems like there's chaos. You know, I saw that new Star Wars movie, and I don't want to spoil things, but my favorite line that came from it was that the greatest teacher failure is. The greatest teacher failure is. I loved that line. That we often think of our failures, they're like a death. We failed, we've fallen, and we feel shame and guilt and blame or even self-hatred when we fail. I know I have. But that is where God can work. That's where God wants to say, prophesy. Hear the word of the Lord into those situations. And I will put my breath in you, says the Lord. And I will cause things to come together. And I will put my breath in you, and you will live. When we've hit rock bottom, when we've lost our job, when we feel like we've failed our loved ones, when we can't get everything ready on time for Christmas and we feel like we're letting people down. That's where God wants to tell us to prophesy. That God will cause his breath that gives new life. His Holy Spirit wants to come into that situation where we have the most pain, where we have the most disappointment, where we've lost all hope. That's where God wants to save us first. And that gives me hope. Because today is about God giving us the gift of hope. Hope for resurrection. Hope for revival. Hope for a new season. In verse 11 he says, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And this is what they say. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. So what does God say? He says to Ezekiel, he says, prophesy therefore and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I found it interesting that he keeps saying your graves, your graves, your graves, your graves. I think there's a saying in our culture where it's about sometimes we dig ourselves our own graves. We get in over our head. We make rash decisions. And he keeps saying not the graves, but your graves. Out of your graves. As if almost to say maybe Israel, that what's happening right now is because of their disobedience. Maybe what's happening right now is because their expectations weren't what God was expecting. Maybe they just completely missed the boat. But it's out of that, out of their failure, that God wants to bring them up. He promises to bring them up from their graves. And he says, oh, my people. See, they thought that their hope was lost and they were cut off completely, that they had severed that relationship and it was never going to be the same. But God says, oh, my people. He looks at them as even in their abject failure, even where they've fallen short of all the glory of God in their sin, he looks at them and still says, oh, my people, or oh, my children. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? Not even our failure. Not even when we lose hope. He says, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Even when they were facing exile, he tells them, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. He's not giving up on those promises he made to them. And those promises were fulfilled in this word that came later on in the Gospel of Luke. And these are the kind of familiar words that we're used to hearing. In Luke chapter 1. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, out of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of the ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? She might as well have been barren. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit, that's the breath of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and will and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this was the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. So Elizabeth was barren. Mary was a virgin. Elizabeth was barren. And I love this in verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible with God. And then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. Later on, after she meets Elizabeth hears Mary coming, and the child leaped within her womb. That was John the Baptist and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her of the Lord. See, that breath of God came in an unexpected way. All of the hopes came down to this baby who was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of Mary. That was the way that Ezekiel's vision was fulfilled. That prophecy came true in that moment when the breath of God, the Spirit of God, came over Mary. And Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and then would be born of the Virgin Mary. That he would take up all of those dry bones into himself. especially when he died for us on the cross for our sins. Amen? Amen. See, God gives us hope for revival and resurrection. But he often surprises us. It doesn't always turn out the way we expect. But it indeed exceeds our expectations. Amen? Amen. Lindy's going to sing a song. The God of hope, who breathes life into the dead and makes them come alive and puts his breath in them and makes us live as his people. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit as you trust in Jesus Christ. Amen.